this morning. Praise the Lord for goodness. Weather this morning. Hopefully it'll be all day. Number 378. This all Stan was saying to stand up for Jesus. 378.
In spirit and in truth. I ask, Lord, that you speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to be attentive to your word and need your word, Lord, this morning. Meet the needs, Lord, in Jesus' name. I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Number 413. Turn forward two pages. 413. Pick this song, not because what's going on out there. The war going on. They don't want to call it a war, but it is. Sound the battle cry. Okay? 413.
Sound the battle cry. See the foes die. Raise the standard high for the Lord. Burn your battle guns and firm everyone.
Rouse them, soldiers, rally round the banner.
on sheet. It's probably new to everyone but three of us, maybe. But we'll it's easiest to learn. It's a nice song, but the admonition Paul gave us in Ephesians chapter 6. Be strong in the Lord. Let's try to sing it. Be strong in the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. That was special.
Song, Ron Hamilton. He is suffering with dementia, but he's still smiling. Post updates on Facebook. Really encouraging how honest and open she is. And she's relying on the Lord. She's fine, but he's not. But she's got a video that his caretaker took of him. I knew him. I met him back in his prime. He was a young, healthy, brilliant man, always had a smile, but the caretaker took a video of him in his bed, and she walked up, and she approached with the camera, and she started singing one of his old songs that he wrote for children probably 40 years ago. The song was "Rise and Shine, Lazy Sleepy Head," and she started singing that, and he looked up at her, and he perked up, and he said, "Get those lazy bones out of the bed." What a blessing. He is still joyful in the Lord. There's a lot of things he doesn't know anymore. He can't remember anymore. But he remembers the songs, and he remembers his Bible. Ephesians chapter 6. Lord willing, we'll finish verse 4 today. And it's going to be a little different than it has been. The last several weeks has been focusing mostly directed at husbands and wives. And then we spent a week talking about children. And then a week fathers specifically. I didn't finish the verse, though, because there's much more to say in the verse. Ephesians 6, verse 4, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I'm not sure that he said it from the pulpit as much as he said it to me growing up, but our pastor's favorite word, at least to me, was balance. Balance. And everything be balanced. God is a balanced being, if we can use that human terminology. He is merciful and he's just.
Amen.
He is holy and he's gracious. Thank the Lord he's not one or the other.
Amen.
Thank the Lord that he is not, he does not choose between holiness and love. If he chose holiness, then we would have no opportunity, no chance of being right with him. If he was love only, then the universe would fall apart. But he's a balanced being. And the responsibility given to fathers is to be balanced. To be balanced. He says in verse 6, bring them up, provoke not, that's the negative. Provoke not your children to wrath. But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, it's so comforting to me when someone else has to take their child out. So it really is. And Brother Paul, it's okay. I'm not sure if you can still hear me or not. That's very normal.
Yeah.
It's very normal. We have a little statement we're putting together for our Chinese ministry. And just a little description for people who don't know or who might even come but don't realize the way we look at things is if your child cries in the service, it's not a big deal. It's very natural. It's very normal. Now I understand. Brother Paul feels like she's distracted. He takes her. That's fine. But if he stayed in here and went in the back and covered her mouth, it's fine. It's normal. It's normal. It's normal. Sometimes we let kids lie down on the floor in there while I'm preaching in color. The little ones, not Joseph. All right. I told him, son, don't do that anymore. Just kidding. we understand. That's fine. So he says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Spend a little bit of time on that. We looked at Jacob. And Jacob both exemplified that, and Jacob didn't do that. He said to his brother Esau that if I go too quickly, I will overdrive the flocks, the young ones, and the children. And he said, the young ones will die. He said, so I have to lead on softly. But then he provoked his children to wrath by exalting and loving Joseph more than the others. So here's what he says not to do in verse 4, first part. Second part, he tells fathers what to do. Balance. And I said it's going to be a little different because I have been focusing on these individual family members because the text does. But we're going to look at something that is going to affect all of us, whether you're a husband, wife, father, mother, child, whoever you are. If you're a child of God, there's something here for you. And I pray that God will make it a blessing to you. So let's pray and have our study of God's Word. Our Father, we thank you that you are good, that you are God, that you are great, you're glorious. There is none like unto thee in heaven above nor on the earth beneath. And we praise and thank you for who you are and what you've done. And most of all, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for sending him to be our Savior. We thank you that you gave your very best, your most precious, your most beloved, to come and rescue us from our sins. And so we thank you. We thank you for giving us this book. We thank you for the book of Ephesians. And we thank you for how it teaches us unchanging truth, doctrine, and practical truth for how to live out the truth. So help us to learn from that today. We pray that our Father would be glorified through Jesus Christ, his Son. in all that is done today in the Lord's house on the Lord's day. Be glorified, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
He says, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We spent a little time talking about the nurture of the Lord. Who remembers what nurture means? Nurture. And it's a kind of an unexpected word. It's translated a different way in some other passages. It's the same word, but it's translated in Hebrews as chasten. 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 Who likes the idea? Who, if you don't know what chasten means, don't raise your hand. But how many of you growing up, your mother or father said, go get me the, and they named whatever term it was they had in your house for the instrument of correction. There have been many different instruments of correction. They're not instruments of punishment. They're instruments of correction.
Amen.
And he says, nurture, that's chastening. That includes chastening. And that's the physical part of things, the physical part of bringing up children. But then he says, and the admonition of the Lord. Admonition. That is the verbal part. That's using words. To be a proper father, the physical aspect of correction is needed, and the verbal aspect is needed. So it's not enough to whip the fire out of a little boy and send him on his way. That will breed bitterness. But what needs to be done is loving correction.
Amen.
With instruction. With words. Son, why did you, or what did you do? Why did you do that?
I don't know.
It's universal. No matter what language it is, I don't know. It comes out. I don't know. Children are pre-programmed to lie, steal, kick, hit, bite, and scream, and to say, I don't know. And we all are. We all were programmed that way. It's our sin nature. I'm not picking on children. Kids, I'm not picking on you. I did the same thing.
Amen on me.
And we grow up, and if we're not corrected the proper way and instructed the proper way, we continue to do that.
Right.
Wait, lie, steal, scream, fight, adults?
Huh.
I watched a little bit of news last night. Just a little bit. That's all I can take. Because those are adults. Were never corrected in the admonition and instructed in the admonition of the Lord. And a bunch of babies in adult bodies. Nurture and admonition of the Lord. Using the Word of God, the Word of the Lord, the admonition, using correction. Verbal correction, verbal instruction. And so for fathers who are here, not very many, maybe fathers to be someday. Eric, do you have any ambitions of someday becoming a dad? Yeah, okay. Hang on to these things. It's so simple, and yet so many people miss it, that the purpose of the correction, of the physical correction, is to bring them to where they can listen to the verbal instruction. And all through the book of Proverbs, you hear that the rod and reproof. The rod is the nurture, the physical correction. And then the reproof is the verbal correction. You have to have both.
Amen.
You have to have both. And so, son, why did you, son, who did you disobey?
You.
Yes, that's right. And who else did you disobey?
Mommy.
Yeah, who else did you disobey? If they've been taught right, they know the answer to that question.
God.
And they know that because, and they should know that, because they should have been taught, their daddy should have taught them, that the Bible says in Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Son, the Bible says, children, obey your parents. Who said that?
God.
Mm-hmm. So if you don't obey your parents, who are you really disobeying?
God.
That's right. So who did you disobey?
God.
Use the word of God.
Amen.
Use the word of God. It's so simple. But here's what I found out. If the children know that they are, if you are training them, you're preparing them for the time when they will not have mama and daddy to correct and instruct them. And there comes an age, I think, when the physical correction is, there's a different way to do things.
Amen.
The verbal is still needed, but they have got to be prepared to relate to God Himself. Not through mom and dad, but to God Himself. They're responsible to God. They have to see themselves as responsible to God. They will answer to God. And then, of course, it says the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Sometimes in the New Testament, the Lord refers to God, the triune God. Sometimes the Lord refers to God the Father. It speaks of the Lord's Christ. But most of the time, the term God speaks either to the triune God or to God the Father, where Lord, the Lord, usually refers to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In most cases, the second person of the Godhead. And so when he says the nurture and admonition of the Lord, I can't help but think that this indicates, this reminds us that we remind them of Jesus. It's gospel based. So when the correction is done, and the instruction is coming in, the reproof and the instruction, the correction, the verbal correction and instruction, we dads have to teach our little ones, now you disobeyed, and why did you get in trouble? Why did you get the correction, whatever you call correction in your home? Why did you get that?
Because I disobeyed.
That's right. Disobeying is sin. So let's pray now. Let's ask, I'm going to pray for you. And then you pray. You ask the Lord to forgive you. This is not a sinner's prayer. This is not saying you pray this prayer and you're saved. It's teaching them that when you sin, you confess your sin to God. And you receive His forgiveness. How? Because of what? On what basis can the sin be forgiven? So sometimes it goes like this. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for and name the child's name. I have no child named John, so I'll just say John. Father, I thank you for John. And Father, John disobeyed you. Now at this point, I'm holding John, and probably on my lap or close to me like this. And he's still... And Lord, I thank you for John. And John disobeyed. And I'm asking you to forgive him. Because Jesus died for him. Because Jesus died for him. So please forgive him. Help him to trust in Jesus. And ask you to forgive him. And then I'll help the child pray. Now, depends on how old they are. Sometimes they're very little ones. I say, now, let's pray. I don't ask them, do you want to? I say, do you say this? Dear God. And by the way, little psychology. If they don't frame the words just right, don't smack them for that. Don't yell at them for that. They're already not feeling so great. So be a little patient, compassionate. Grace and truth.
Amen.
Mercy and judgment. And so, John, now you say this. Now you say, dear God.
Dear God.
I disobeyed my mommy and dad. And I disobeyed you. Pitiful, isn't it? Rip your heart out. It's got to be done, dads. Grandpa sometimes too, and grandmas. And thank you for Jesus who died for me. And please forgive me for disobeying. Please forgive me for sin. Now you have to use this as that. There's no words laid out in Scripture, so there's no magic to this. It's just trying to apply scriptural truth to the situation and direct their minds. Remember, they're like saplings. Now, I didn't say they're little saps. I said they're saplings. They're saplings, and they want to grow crooked. Those two papaya trees in the back, oh, the one making these huge, like, these gigantic, like a stretched out football size papayas that Brother Francis planted for us. Oh man, what, 4 months, 5 months?
Yeah.
Was this spring, right? And one of them's twice as tall as I am. But one of them, it comes out of the ground and it goes like this. Papayas aren't supposed to do that. Papayas are supposed to be like this. You know whose fault that is? I didn't stake it and tie it. I just left it. I thought, okay. Brother Francis still said leave it, so I just leave them, water them. It's good, brah. No. Sometimes you gotta put something to make it grow straight. Otherwise, it's gonna go. We have moringa in our backyard. Kristen planted moringa from seed. For several weeks, nothing. All of a sudden, this little sprout came up. And then all of a sudden, like it seemed like in just a few weeks, this thing was this tall. And then that thing just, now the thing is. But a wind came several months back and blew the thing over. So I had to take these poles, put them in the ground, and tie them up to brace the thing up. And I looked out there yesterday, and the moringa, I said, where's the moringa? The moringa did this. The thing is huge. Oh, smells good. It's got the bitter leaves. Malunga. Moringa. It's got that bitter smell and the sweet flowers. Oh, you go outside and just work in the yard or just stand there. It's like coffee and cream together. Sorry, brother. I put cream in my coffee. And it's just that mixture of bitter and sweet. Oh, so good. But that thing, if we had trained it up from small kind time, if we had trained it up from when it was a sapling, it probably would be a nice straight trunk now. With the branches coming off. But we let it go, and it just... And children, if they're not trained up in the way they should go, is the verbiage of the wording of Proverbs. Train up a child in the way he should go. If he's not trained up in the way he should go, he's going to do this. How do you do it? Nurture and admonition of the Lord. And not just nurture and admonition, but of the Lord. Of the Lord. Now, I think that there are some good dads who take care, like I said a few weeks ago, of the physical care of your child. They provide for them. They give them a good home, a good education. They provide for them emotionally. They're there. They attend the ball games. They take them on campouts, cookouts. They spend time with the kids, but lack the spiritual. And how sad it would be, what a tragedy it would be to be great at the physical care, provision, and the emotional provision, nurturing, but forget the most important. And raise up a responsible, healthy child into adulthood, and then watch him go off into sin and die to sin. And what good is that? Well, it makes for maybe a better society if he's a good citizen and all that and has some responsibility. But what if he goes off and he dies without Christ? That's tragic.
That's tragic. Now, what we have to do, dads, and future dads, and fathers of my grandson, someday, what we've got to do is take care of all three aspects. We've got to take care of their health, their provision. They have clothes to wear. Now, I love when my mother-in-law comes, because I love my mother-in-law, but she always brings clothes for the kids. And until about 5 years ago, most of my clothing was a gift from my mother-in-law. And I, you know, people would compliment me on, a nice shirt. So my mother-in-law gave it to me. Well, now we're here, so we can go to Costco and get the best Aloha shirts at Costco. But you got to provide for their clothes. You got to provide good food for them. And they have to be provided for emotionally. They've got to know that Daddy loves them, Daddy's there, and Daddy spends time with them. And this is something that's a challenge for me, because I'm such a driven, I'm always working on something in my mind. I've got to stop myself from the things that I want to do and feel like I need to do, and spend time with my children individually. Not just take them to the park and, go play and sit there and watch, but spend time with them. We have to do that. But most importantly,
we interrupt this broadcast for a special ambulance.
Most importantly, we've got to make sure that they're being directed to walk with God. Don't ignore the physical or the emotional in order to take care of the spiritual. Because I believe if you don't take care of the physical and the emotional, then they're going to reject the spiritual. You have to have all three. You have to have all three. Now, he says, the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, I want you to see this morning. Let's look at several scriptures that talk about how the Lord is our perfect example of fatherhood. But more than that, if you're not a father, look at these verses and think and understand that these scriptures are telling you what your father is like. Maybe you didn't have a dad who took care of you either physically or emotionally or spiritually. If I only tell you what dads ought to do, then most of you here today, this is not for you. But if we can look and learn and understand a little more about our Heavenly Father, if you are saved, then this is your Father.
Amen.
So look at Psalm 103 to begin with. Let's learn some things about our Father this morning. Because dads, you may not have had a good example in your dad. You may not know a good example of a dad. You might not see any models of fatherhood that you can look up to. If you're looking for some, I can point you in the direction of some books, of some resources. I'd be happy to help you with that. It's been my privilege not only to have a great father, but also to know several great dads. And I'm watching now their kids growing up and doing the same things and moving forward. It's a wonderful thing to see. But if you don't have that blessing, you've got a Heavenly Father. And He does not want you to look at Him through the lens of, oh, that's what a dad is like. Through the lens of a bad father, or a poor father, or a father lacking in some area, but learn about Him, who He is. Psalm 103. Now, verse 13 says this: like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. But leading up to that verse, just listen to this. Just listen to this, how it describes your Father. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name.
Amen.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Now here are some of the benefits. who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Amen. Hallelujah. All thine iniquities. You have any sins you feel like that's just too much for God to forgive? Through the blood of Christ, he cleanseth all our unrighteousness.
Praise God.
Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Oh, wait a minute, wait a minute. There are sicknesses. We've all had sicknesses. We've known people who died from sicknesses. So, is this a contradiction? No. We Christians have this hope, and by faith we see something that the world cannot understand, cannot grasp. If you're saved, you're going to be healed. It might not be in this lifetime.
That's right.
My granddaddy passed away a little bit young, in his early 70s. I wept at his funeral. I cried like a baby. I my whole body just convulsed for about 5 minutes. For about 5 minutes. And then it was over. But I wasn't crying for him. He died peacefully. He was saved. And you've heard me say it. The last thing he said to me was, "I'll see you in heaven, son." And he was confident of that because of Jesus. And I was not crying for him. I was crying for me. I knew I would miss him. But for him, I should have been jumping up and down, dancing in the hall of the church. Because the moment he slipped out of this life and into glory, he left a world full of sin and curse and a body torn apart by combat in Vietnam. And he entered into a place where he got complete healing. He didn't have to take 85 pills anymore every day. I'm not sure how many it was. It was a lot. I'd watch him sit there at his table sometime in the morning, sort of all his pills. How do you keep that straight? I forget to take my, what's it called? Mucuna? Memory pill. It's a memory herb. I forget to take it. I forget that one. I forget everything else. And I think, what's wrong? I can't remember things today. What's wrong with me? Oh, my vitamins. I forgot my vitamins this morning. It makes a difference. So you're going to be healed, Christian. Now, if you're not saved, you don't have that hope. Because the only future you have that God promises you is the lake of fire. But if you're saved, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, then you've got the promise that you are going to be healed of all your diseases.
Amen.
Wow. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. Now, I like that verse. When I come to that verse, I start thinking about dinners on the ground in southern churches.
Amen.
I start thinking about Highway Inn and Kaka'ako and my Pahoo.
Watermelon.
And I start, I start thinking about Teddy's Bigger Burgers. Yeah, they're all over the island, and every one is pretty close to a hiking trail, so that's great. You can hike at Teddy's. I think I start thinking about Rainbow Drive. I think of my wife's cooking. My mama's cooking. My mother-in-law's cooking. There are some ladies in the church that can cook. I think of Brother Bobby's Mac Salad. If you haven't had Brother Bobby's Mac Salad, you haven't had Brother Bobby's Mac Salad. But he gives us good things. Have you ever picked an apple, a ripe apple, and bit into that thing? Have you ever grown tomatoes, a cherry tomato, and picked it right off the vine, rubbed it clean on your shirt, popped it in your mouth, and pop that thing open in your mouth? There's nothing like that. It's just, it's fresh. It's just off the vine. It's God's blessing.
Amen.
God's blessing. You ever bit into a piece of properly prepared bison meat and just is good. He satisfies thy mouth with good things. Have you ever had, my mouth is about to start watering now, Sichuan style dan dan mian? I mean, you can't see heaven from this earth, but I think there's a little taste right there. Or Sichuan style gong bao jin here. Oh boy, now that's kung pao chicken, but you can't find the real stuff at Pandas.
That's just not real.
That's just not real. He satisfied thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Now there's a study in that. Someday we'll have to look at that together. How the eagle renews its youth.
Amen.
But these are all things that your Father does for you. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. We need to be praying that verse for our friends and Christian family in Afghanistan. And wherever God's people are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. That's your Father. That's your Father. Brothers and sisters, have you ever done something foolish that you knew you ought not to do? Why did I do that?
Show me.
Why did I say that? Why did I let myself think that way? Why? And come back again and say, Father, I did it again. Please forgive me for that.
But you have to
plead. Because he has plenty. Now, it's a good exercise for the soul to plead for mercy. But he has promised you that he is plenteous in mercy. And through the lens of the New Testament, we understand it's because of Jesus Christ that we can receive that mercy and that grace. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not, now listen, if you jump out of your skin here in verse 10 and become a little bit charismatic, in your expression of joy at verse 10, I for one would like to say, that's okay. He hath not dealt with us after our sins,
amen,
nor rewarded us according to our iniquities.
Right.
Brother Carlton says to me, greetings and salutations. How's that? Sound like it? Not bad, huh? Greetings and salutations. And he says, how are you this fine day? And I say, better than I deserve.
Amen.
I'm not sure if I got that from Dave Ramsey or before. I don't know. But I say that, and I mean that. I am better than I'm better off than I deserve. You know what I deserve? You know what you deserve? Not to be sitting here in good health because of our sins, our iniquities. In Waimanalo, every time we pass by going Kailua bound from Makapumusai, going cut, there's a big, someone has a hand-painted sign. It says, you are worthy of love and respect. I said, oh, brother. Who is that for? You are worthy of love and respect. Now, we ought to give love and respect to everybody.
Amen.
But not because they're worthy of it, but because they're made in the image of God.
Amen.
That's why. But not because of some good thing that we've done. In me, that is in my flesh, Paul said, dwelleth no good thing.
Amen.
God has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. If he had, then what? We'd be in a mess.
Amen.
We would be in a mess. As far as the east is from the west. Now, down at Manoa, there's the east-west center. The idea is that eastern people from Asia, people from the European country, the West, can come together and mutually learn about cultural exchange. But that's not what he's talking about here as far as the east is from the west. He means this. If you take the compass, look at a compass, it's got E pointing that way and W pointing that way and east and west. And if you go that way, as Rudyard Kipling said, and never the twain shall meet. they will never meet. East and west. And God, he says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. You know why you and I don't deserve to be in heaven with God? Because we have sin. It is in us, it is on us, it is with us, it is through us. We are sinful. The term someone uses, radically corrupt. But God has taken that sin and he's made an operation somehow through the blood of Christ, and he has separated our sin from us as far as the east is from the west.
And never the twain shall meet. And never the twain shall meet. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him.
For he knoweth our frame. That means the way we're built. He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust.
As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. We have a
what's that plant called in our front yard? Auntie Joan gave it to us. What's it called? The long skinny cactus looking thing.
Dragon fruit.
It's growing, it's potted amongst the sweet potatoes. It's kind of camouflaged. We came home one night, I think it was the night we picked up Grammy from the airport?
Wednesday night.
Shortly after. Yeah. We came home one after church a couple weeks ago, and that thing had bloomed. And it only blooms for a few hours, I think, or several hours, overnight, at nighttime. It bloomed, and there it was, and all the family gathered around looking at that flower. Beautiful, big, white and yellow, right? White and yellow? Flower, beautiful. In the morning, that's what our life is like. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. We bloom. And I think of Brother Ron Hamilton again. Ron Hamilton in his prime, as he was in his bloom. He wrote, I think, what is it, 2,000 something songs he's written? Many of them amazing, wonderful hymns of praise to God. And now he's in the stage of life. He's on his bed. His face is drawn. He's all just gray. And his eyes are hardly open. Well, his eye hardly open. He's missing an eye.
Rise and shine. Lazy, sleepy head.
That's you and me. Dementia or not. That's you and me. If the Lord doesn't come before we fade, we're going to like that flower. And God remembers that. And God knows that. And he is merciful to that.
Thank God.
And he doesn't say, you have to be whatever for me to have mercy on you. Merciful means what, Timothy? Mercy means God does not, we talked about this week, God does not give us the bad that we deserve.
Amen.
It's mercy. For the wind passeth over, it is gone, the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Amen.
Why? Because he is a gracious and merciful Father. No matter what kind of father you had growing up, no matter what kind of father you know that you can look to as an example or have as a father figure in your life, know this. If you are a child of God, you have a perfect, and I do mean perfect, Father in heaven. And he invites you to walk with him. He invites you to know him. He says, when you pray, say, our Father which art in heaven. He never says, wait a minute, son, I'm busy. Wait, I'm still working on this, son. He never says that. He never says that. He never says, let me call you back. He never says that. What a father. What a perfect father. What a wonderful father.
Amen.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Amen.
Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you. We can call you Father because you are our Father. We praise you. We thank you. And we pray you help us to live walking with you, trusting you, rejoicing in you, rejoicing in the Savior, your Son, that you gave to die for us, and whom you raised from the dead. We thank you for loving us and hearing us. Bless the rest of the services today for the glory of God. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.